It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who was the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If Blanche is number one,
was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you for it. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here. We'll talk with Ian Furness at 727. Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague here is about to open up, and a question lingering from Boise State and Oregon, as many people give their opinion on the Oregon Ducks.
Yes, drop them in the rankings, man. That team sucks.
They'll never recover from this.
No, it's over.
They can't get better from here.
Texted you guys at halftime. There's always next year. Let's go get them next year, guys. All right? Restock up. We'll win another offseason. Best talented, most talented roster ever. Next year's our year.
Let's open up the cafe, though. Good morning. Welcome into Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague.
Hello. Good morning.
It's good to be in. On the menu today, the special is... Sorry, I'm trying to look over, make sure I got all my audio.
Make sure everything's okay. Ready to go.
Special today is a breakfast burrito bowl.
Ooh, okay.
Now, your choice of the protein, it's the full slate. Whatever you want in a protein, it's an option. It's a pretty standard breakfast burrito bowl.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
I don't do a lot of burrito bowls, but when I do, I'm always a fan of them, breakfast or non-breakfast.
I had one this morning.
Yeah.
And I probably do the burrito bowl far more than I do the burrito.
I mean, it's a little bit simpler, right? You don't have to worry about the wrapping. You just get a little bowl, get it all together. You don't have the tortilla mixed in there and all that
stuff.
Isn't
that just called a scramble?
Well, it's a burrito.
But it's not.
When you make a scramble, do you put rice in it?
No.
Do you put beans in it?
No, but
well,
I'm not
a burrito bowl.
Putting those in a breakfast burrito either.
Yeah, I'm anti-beans. Get the beans out of here.
You're anti-beans?
Anti-beans, not a beans guy.
Really?
Yeah, black beans, refried beans.
What about rice?
Pinto beans. No. I love rice. I'll eat a lot of rice.
That's just filler. I want more meat and vegetables in the burrito.
So order the scramble. I just told you the special's a burrito bowl. You don't have to order it. That's the difference.
Can I talk to the manager, please? I don't like your tone.
Thanks, okay? Karen.
I'm going to send my food back. I didn't want beans in my bowl.
You know, my biggest problem with burrito versus burrito bowl and why I tend to go burrito bowl is I always underestimate the amount of food I have that doesn't fit enough in the burrito itself.
Yeah.
Because I don't buy the super extra large burrito tortillas.
It's not all fitting in.
No, I buy the Costco, you got to... cook them to make them real tortillas.
Right.
And those are tiny. So I always have more than two, so I just put it in a bowl.
Yeah, that usually ends up being the way to go.
That's
the way to
do
it better. Just shove it in a bowl.
All right, a lot to get to here on Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. We start with this.
Oh, boy, there's a swing and a fly ball. Left field, and Rosarena can watch. A three-run homer for Danny Jansen. And that gets him excited in Seattle. Sixth of the year for Danny. And the Rangers have opened a can in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, that's a great call. Rangers TV on that one. You know, you belittle the Seattle Mariners. Mariner fan will chime in and hate you. You pick the Seattle Mariners to win. Mariner fan will chime in and hate you.
Yeah.
They suck. Mariner fan will chime in and hate themselves.
Yes, they will.
They are an odd fan base, in my opinion, an odd team. They are...
years of ineptitude will do that to you.
Stumbling and bumbling. I think they're eliminated, but they're not technically eliminated.
They're
six and a half back with like 16 to go.
Stick a fork in them.
They lost three or four of the A's, and they lost last night.
Yeah.
Texas scored 10 runs, beat them 10-5.
I think the most frustrating thing was when they got through that stretch, and they played okay, where they had like Milwaukee and Chicago and Philly, and you held your own in those series, and then you come home against the A's, and they dominate you. And the Rangers are – I know the Rangers are technically ahead of you in the standings, so they're better, but it's not like the Rangers are some juggernaut this year. They're below 500, I believe, still to this point. and they come in and put 10 runs on you last night or whatever the final ended up being. That's where it hurts. Like you had a schedule that allowed you the ability to go on a run, but they have felt like a dead team walking for a month now, and that's like they're done. They're not erasing a 6.5 game deficit with how many games you say there are to go?
It's like 16, I think.
16 to go. I mean, there's like 3 weeks left in the season.
I was told though Cal hit a grand slam and that meant he was back and they were back.
They got to climb over. There's like
no,
five
he had,
teams.
He had a three home run game.
Well, yes. He also had that too.
And then it was on.
He had a home run and four straight at bats. It was like exactly. Here he comes. Now
here
he's heating up.
He's 184 on the season.
Now they're already they called up their big prospect.
Yeah, I mean that's what you should do.
One
in the
that
last
didn't land last night.
He did hit. I saw that home run. That was like 800 feet.
Yeah. Order up. He's missed 84 games, 99 days. A number on his back, and he takes the field as an active player. He must be absolutely filled with excitement.
The right fielder, number 99, Aaron Judge, number 99.
Michael K. Yes Network. In crowd, play-by-play guy, and 0-3.
He was a little rusty? Is that what you're saying?
And they yanked him out of the lineup, too. He wasn't happy about that
back.
Either.
0-3.
He was buttered about that.
0-3.
Two strikeouts,
you
think?
Never miss a, here's what I will say about you in your radio career. Any opportunity to alley-oop a lob against the Yankees, you don't miss. Your hit percentage is 100%.
First team to make me cry as a sports fan.
Any
I will never
opportunity
like
for an alley-oop to get
he also
up.
Shouldn't have been the MVP last year, but, you know.
Ooh, yeah. Well, he's having a little – well. He hasn't played this year, but
Cal
I would
Raleigh
say
was the MVP last year. He's absolutely robbed. Switch jerseys. Cal's winning the MVP. It's a pinstripe thing.
Hit 220, all right?
I hope he gets tight and, you know, gets played a super tough game. Obviously, you know, he gave me some gifts with a couple double faults there, but and then I slowly started to get my rhythm there, snuck out that third set and only started playing better and better. But he's a hell of a player, man, and, I mean, he easily should have won today. So shout out Alex Mickelson.
A tough one yesterday. That's Francis Tiafoe, who came back. He was down two sets. He was facing match point multiple times in the third set.
Mm-hmm.
They went to extras. He won the third set 7-5. He won the next set 6-3, and then they have the final set. And he came back from 0-2 and beat Mickelson, who was super emotional, like hugged him. He was crying. Had to console his opponent.
Really?
Because of how devastated he was blowing this match.
That's pretty brutal. Explain this to me in football terms. Is this like a Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl? Is it that big
it's
of a
not,
comeback?
It's
Are we
close.
Talking like a 21-point comeback?
I mean, yeah, Mickelson is a set away from winning.
So it's like 28
to the semis.
28-7 in the third quarter, and you blew the lead?
Green Bay-Chicago playoff game.
Ah, yeah, that's tough. That's a tough one right
Felt
there.
Felt over, and then all of a sudden it's not.
It's a hard one to get over. So is it done? Now we're in the semis?
We're in the semis.
Okay, semis. Are they going to start at 1 o'clock in the morning tonight?
No.
Okay.
We have more quarterfinals today.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was the first half of the quarterfinals.
The other set of men quarterfinals.
The other quarterfinals are today.
Tiafoe will take on
Did
the winner.
Did you see Herb Street get a little butthurt on Saturday, by the way? I don't know why I still have
Did
the game
Did nobody
on.
Buy his dog store merch?
No. That's a whole other thing. I have that in the Magic Hat if we can hold it that long for tomorrow. don't worry. I saw that.
Somebody had a great take of he clearly did not love his last dog because the last dog
this
didn't get
This dog's
any
getting
of
a little bit more attention. Yeah, he's capitalizing.
Very interesting.
Who's the angry guy that always used to yell at the linesman and now he's a broadcaster?
John McEnroe.
They did a hit with him and he was like, hey Fowler, when are you going to come back to the sport you love? We all know that you like tennis more than football. And then
I agree with that.
And then they tossed it back to the broadcast and it was in the middle of the Clemson LSU game and Herb Street's like, so tennis over football, huh? But at that point the game was like, you know, 49-0, and so they ended up spending like 3 minutes talking about tennis because there was nothing to talk about in the football game.
Swag, I think.
Is that a correct take? Does he like tennis? I don't ever
I
watch
think
tennis.
Loves, yeah.
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 What's he better at?
I don't know. It's so hard to evaluate tennis because you don't
doses.
Say anything during the point.
That's true.
Your during, doses are between points.
Do we need more like, commentating during the match?
No, because they're right there in the stadium. They have their windows are usually open like they are for football.
I think what's cool about tennis broadcasting, because he's great in both, if there's a back and forth rally, there are quite a bit in the Shelton Alcaraz match. We'll play
some
Shelton
unbelievable rallies.
It's the commentating itself. It's the shoes squeak. It's
the sound.
The grunt of how hard it is to hit the ball at the speed.
Then the crowd gets excited,
building the buzz. Like there, you don't need broadcasting, dear. Got a lot of that last night.
A lot of moaning and groaning.
Order up.
You know, for me, it's always about the people in the crowd. Whether it's, you know, my coaches and my team over there, all my family and friends over here, or the city of New York that showed up tonight till 3 a.m. with the USA chants until the very end. That's what kept me going, and that's what got me this win tonight.
Yeah, Ben Shelton with a big upset over Carlos Alcaraz. He had the serve going and hit some amazing shots. I did not stay up for all of it. I got through about almost the end of the second set. He stunningly won it 6-1 after blowing the first set.
It's got to be tough when it's that late. You're like, how long am I going to let this go for?
I mean, I couldn't.
When do I pull the plug? It's kind of like a Stanley Cup overtime games will do that in the playoffs where you're like, am I going to do the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Am I going to make it all the way? Yeah.
I couldn't do it. But he got the upset. Now he'll take on Francis Tiafoe in the semis. The other quarterfinals
today
will happen today, yeah.
They are committed to him as their quarterback going forward. And I think this has a lot to do with ownership, too. You know, the Glazers really trust Baker, like what he represents to their football team, to their community. You know, what he's done to come in here after a Tom Brady is very difficult, but he's an authentic guy. He ingratiated himself with the community, with his team. And I just feel like it's hard, guys. If you don't have the quarterback, you're like everybody else trying to find one. And they're not going to lose enough games to be in that derby anytime soon. So, you know, this is an opportunity to reward somebody that they really like and trust as the face of their franchise. And there's just a willingness on ownership to, you know, to find a way to get this done because, you know, continuity wins in this league, certainly with coaching, but also with quarterbacking. And look, Baker is performed, you know, he's gotten this team to the playoffs 2 out of 3 years. And, you know, they feel like they got more work they can do. So I just think it's an ownership situation.
There's Rick Stroud, ESPN Radio. Baker Mayfield did get his extension yesterday, 3 years, $165 million. He has $55 million a year.
Third highest average in the NFL.
Last year's not guaranteed.
The last year of the deal's not guaranteed. I mean, these contracts always end up being a little bit of a not exactly what they appear to be on paper. The only question that I have is, of the $55 million, how much of that, what's the cap hit every year? Because I don't think we've seen the details on that yet. Because that does change the way that you can build a roster and how much cash are you going to give them up front and how low is that cap hit. We've talked about it at length, but Jalen Hurts has this in Philadelphia. Brock Purdy's contract is this way where it's just a lot of money up front. And so you see the number and you think, oh my God, that's too much of your salary cap. But in reality, that's not quite what the number ends up being. I'm not a huge fan. If it is $55 million cap hit every year, that's a bit high. I think Baker Mayfield's great. I'm glad they got a deal done, but it makes it a little bit more challenging to put the roster together. I'm certainly happy for him, though, because he deserves it. Like what he's been through, his last organization, making him play through the injuries, giving up on him.
You mean the Rams?
Three organizations ago, giving up on him, and then everything else that transpired, him finding a new home. Like, in that way, I'm genuinely happy for him getting the contract because he's played his butt off there.
Some neighbors are saying this neighborhood has an infestation of skunks. Would you agree with that?
I'd agree, I didn't think it was true.
Neighbors tell me they don't know what to do and don't know who to turn to for help.
That was K2 on their special report of skunks invading Westmoreland. Was that your dad?
It was not my dad,
interviewed about a skunk problem going on?
They've had dogs sprayed, though. I'm sure he'd sit for an interview and say, this is nonsense, man. Get these things out of my neighborhood.
Why didn't they interview you? We literally talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Where you at, K2? Where you at, K2? I'm right here.
We have a friend of the program at K2.
You know how to find me. You know how to reach me. I'm good on TV. I know what to say. I literally walking out of my front door this morning, there was one 10 feet from my front door.
You're good on TV? That's quite a proclamation.
I dominate the door. Jojo better than that old guy. I'd give you a great story. Say, here's what we need to do, people. We all need to get our guns out and sit out on our front porches and start taking these things off, picking them off one at a time.
I think you'd be better on TV if you went, yeah, my dog got sprayed, and then I still allowed him in my bed that night. What?
Hey, we hosed him off. He was all right. Yeah. Come on out.
Order up. Successful season. Obviously winning. Winning. Oh. I mean, hands down.
Yeah.
Effort. Discipline.
Okay,
winning.
It. Winning.
Effort. Discipline.
So you're not going to have a successful season. See you later.
Aaron Glenn, Jets. That's how you define a successful season in New York.
I just,
Good luck.
It's funny how we do this in college where there's this idea now from coaches of, will, like, don't just jump to jump because not every place is set up to be successful at this level of college football. What are your boosters like? What's your NIL payment? What conference are you in, right? Like, there's a lot of, you know, outside factors that will dictate whether or not you're successful. We need this line of thinking more in the NFL. When they fire Aaron Glenn after this year, which they will because the Jets will be ass again.
After this year?
At whatever point they fire Aaron Glenn, why would you take that job?
It's an NFL job.
I get it. You're going to get fired in 16 months.
If the Clipper job opened up in the NBA, there'd be a line out the door for it.
I thought nobody wanted our job because we don't have a rich owner. I thought that was the whole takeaway.
Nobody wanted our team.
You're going to get fired in 16 months. Will Aaron Glenn ever get another head coaching job?
Probably not.
Okay. That's why you don't take the job.
When I look at my clock and it says the time, and then I try to see my family's time and it says the time, but it says yesterday. I don't even get how that's possible. So I feel like I'm in the future. And then also when we play on our Friday, which I think is a Thursday in the U.S., we're such creatures of habit. So I call today Tuesday. I call today Wednesday, which is the first day we put in a game plan. But I think it's Monday. However, though, it's Sunday in the present. So, like, I'm going to mess that up all week if you guys ask me, but today is just our first day of the game plan, which is a Wednesday. We'll put in some on a Thursday. Friday's the final part of the game plan. Saturday we walk through when we play on Sunday, which is a Friday in Australia and a Thursday in on the U.S., so don't ever make me do that again.
One of the greatest cuts in Kyle Shanahan's life will
always
be that.
Does that inspire confidence in your team or not?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know what doesn't? Losing your starting defensive tackle in a walkthrough portion of your practice. Alfred Collins, come on down. Substation, no substation.
Yeah, in Australia, they're still getting injuries, so maybe it's not the substation.
Alfred Collins, torn patella.
Patellar tendon.
And he is out
for the year. How does that happen in a walkthrough? What are we doing?
They hadn't even ramped up to 11 on 11 when this happened.
What are we doing here, man?
I don't know.
That means it was hanging on by a thread from
time ago.
Terrible.
It's hilarious to, this is so stupid. This is so incredibly stupid that we're playing an NFL game in Australia.
It's pretty dumb.
Order up! Well, I think that you can focus on it and you can try to have a good start, and we could say we have to get off to a good start. But then on the other hand, I would say, well, what do we do if we don't? Do we just leave? Do we just take our stuff and go home? Or do we compete? Do we fight? Do we fight through adversity? So again, yes, it's going to be critical to start fast and get off to a good start. And
there's Mike Vrabel not talking about his affair with a married woman. He's talking about his team in week one.
He's on to Seattle. That would be really funny if we did see a team one time just pack up and leave.
You think he had...
It's 17-0 at the end of the first quarter. They're like, we're out of here. We're not playing the rest of this game.
In a first in NFL history, a team has actually removed all of their
they
equipment.
They just go Antonio Brown, rip their jerseys off, give deuces to the crowd, and walk into the locker room. Oh, we don't stand a chance in that. Are you kidding me?
Order up!
Well, I think you have to stick to your core competencies at the beginning of the game. And then, you know, you're going to build out some possible answers as it goes, but... it's just a really have an understanding of what you can do, who you guys are, how you feel like what they're trying to do, and then get to it. You're doing that every game anyways, but I think the first game it's just it is different, just probably because it's just, you know, they could do anything. You know, you just got to be ready for it.
There's Mike McDonald on the other side of things as they kick off the NFL. The Super Bowl champs will host the New England Patriots in a Super Bowl rematch. And says if his team focuses, they'll be A-OK, and we'll have to wait and see on that one tonight. We're going to talk with Ian Furness here in just a minute. But pretty excited to have the NFL back, and maybe not be my favorite, you know, opening kick game that you could have scheduled, but we'll see if the Patriots can hang a little closer than they did in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, history tells us this game will end up being more compelling than maybe some people are given a credit for. I'm not a fan of New England being in the game. Wish it was somebody else. Think there could have been some better matchups that we came up with. But nonetheless, we're going to have NFL football on our TVs tonight, and I can't wait for that. So I'm pumped to get home, get everything ready to go. I already told Teddy ball game. Football's on tonight. NFL's kicking off. No funny business around 5:30. It's football time. Let's go.
What does he say when you say that to him?
You know what he says every time he throws a football now? Now I'm worried about him. He's spending too much time with me. Every time he throws a football, he yells, "Still got it."
He says, "Still got it?"
Because I say that sometimes.
I'm going to need you to record this.
Sometimes when
I... to us, because I need to hear a two-year-old, "Still got it."
Sometimes when I throw footballs, I say, still got it. If you throw a good one, and now he's not...
You are Uncle Rico.
Now he's copying that around. Yesterday, running around the house throwing footballs, every time he threw one, "Still got it."
That's funny because your friends tell me you were more of a mobile quarterback than a passing quarterback.
That's actually an incredible compliment that I will take because I'm not athletic in any way. So thank you. That makes me feel fast and skinny.
Let's get a preview. Seahawks opening up, defending champions. How they're feeling up north about their chances to repeat. The team winning the Super Bowl and what to expect as the NFL kicks off tonight. Ian Furness, 93.3 KJR, joins us next on 105.1 The Fan.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
I had a question in regards to the Oregon-Boise State game that I didn't get to yesterday that I want to ask you coming up.
We got Oregon-Boise leftovers. I like it.
Only one leftover. Okay. I do have the reaction. I find the reaction really funny. I understand the expectations are going to be this high every year for Oregon under Dan Lanning. They also won the game. So, you know, they didn't pull Michigan, steal a second out of their butts and went on a Hail Mary. So
it is funny how the – I think it showcases how the system is a little broken. Like, AP voting does not matter. It's stupid. It's irrelevant. Them falling in the polls kind of showcases what the problem is here.
Well, yeah.
So who should we play then?
Yeah.
East Directional Community College?
Go look at the, I think, Ryan Clark.
Win 88 to nothing and we'll move up to number one. Is that what we should do here?
Go to OregonLive.com. Ryan Clark wrote a piece of like, go look at the top eight teams. Did anybody play a harder team this weekend than Oregon? And you don't have to say one score win over Boise should be like celebrated. Nobody's doing that.
I'd take Boise over Clemson on a neutral field. That's for damn sure right now.
I think a lot of people in America probably would. Yeah. I don't know if they'd be big underdogs, but that's neither here nor there. We'll get to that coming up at 7:45. But, excited for our guest, Ian Furness, 93.3 KJR, one of our favorites, a good friend of the program. Seahawks kicking off the NFL season, defending champions, hosting a Super Bowl rematch against New England, where I have on my notes, Ian, teams that lost the Super Bowl the previous season are 6-20 against the spread in week one since 2000.
Ooh.
And then on the other side, I have in the last 5 years, teams that won the Super Bowl in week one are 1-4 against the spread to start the season. From a gambling angle, it's a very interesting one, but I'm looking forward to the game and the kickoff. Good morning. The Seattle Seahawks this year, how has the conversation been the last couple weeks now that we're here with kickoff night?
I mean, good morning, fellas. It's been good. You know, I think everyone here it's just odd. I'll be honest with you. A Wednesday game is odd. And so, the ramp up, the anticipation, it's kind of here, but it's like, whoa, it's Wednesday. There's a football game. And it feels a lot different than when they played Green Bay in 2014, that first Thursday of the season start the defense of their title from 2013 from Super Bowl 48. So it feels different in that regard. I think there's some trepidation because of some injuries and obviously also some frustration here. You know, fans, I don't think teams care, but the fans get upset because there's so much talk about the Rams. So let's just kick this thing off and see what we got, you know?
I hear you. Wednesday kick times are very odd, but also it might be in the only time ever in league history the best time for it, given what the Mariners are currently doing. They might need some mouthwash right now, given what Seattle's been doing in baseball.
Yeah, I would say so. It's the fifth time. I was wondering this myself. It's the fifth time there's been an NFL game played on a Wednesday.
Interesting.
So, yeah, and this will be and Seattle will be the ninth team in history to play every day of the week. And do you guys remember the Tuesday game?
Do you remember the
Tuesday game?
Yeah.
The Tuesday game was down in L.A. 2021 during the COVID thing when it was the first game the Seahawks played at SoFi. I guess the second game, but yeah, first game with fans this is where Seattle really hates the L.A. Rams. In 2021, they were supposed to play on a Sunday in L.A. at SoFi, and they moved it to Tuesday because the Rams had some COVID issues going through their team, and the Seahawks were like, "Well, we've all had that. Why are we making this consideration for a Los Angeles team?" But that's exactly what they did. So Tuesday then, and Wednesday tonight, and yes, the Mariners actually play at 1 today, so there will be they'll be across the street and. Soto, if nothing else, will be hopping, man. Yeah. It'll be a lot of fun down there. So,
yeah, I'm with you on the Wednesday thing is so dumb. And it does feel like the headlines this week are being dominated by the travel schedules to Australia and what day is it and with the Rams going over late. And it's like, oh, that's right, the Seahawks who won the championship, they're playing tonight. So I totally get why they're butthurt about that. When I look at the questions of this roster, I'm curious how different yours are because I'm not as in tune with it day in and day out as you are. I look at, hey, Super Bowl MVP's gone, Charbonnet's still out, so running back, you got some depth question marks maybe, a young young guy, got a new offensive coordinator you're breaking in. How longer is the list than that, or is that kind of where fans are at going into the year?
Well, I think there's a lot of things in play. I mean, we'll start with the running back. Yeah, I mean, they let Ken Walker walk and go to Kansas City, and they decided that, you know, they weren't going to pay the $14 million. It's a salary cap league, as we all know, and unlike, say, the NBA, where it's a salary cap league that is, you know, basically a flexible salary cap, right, with the luxury taxes and all those things, it's a hard cap in this league. And so you've got to make hard decisions. It's why it's hard to repeat. It's why it was hard to keep the 2013 title team together, because guys wanted their money. And, you know, it feels like the only team that's, and I'm going to say this tongue in cheek, this is not, you know, being butthurt or anything. This is just weird. It's like the Rams don't have those same rules. Everybody's trying to figure out how they're fitting everything in, but a good salary cap, you know, guy in the front office can do that. The Rams are kind of like the Vegas Golden Knights of the NHL. Like, it's just, what is there a cap? Are you sure? Because it doesn't appear to be one for you guys. But, you know, I mean, so they let Walker take off, and Jadarian Price was the first-round pick, 32 overall out of Notre Dame. Wasn't a starter there. We all know the story. Jeremiah Love was. And they've treated him with – they've kept him in bubble wrap all year, I'll tell you that. You know, he didn't play at all in the preseason. He was banged up for a little bit, but they're very careful with him. You know, Emmanuel Wilson, George Helani are the backups right now until Charbonnet comes back. So, yeah, they're thin at that position. And, you know, Price, frankly, is an unknown commodity. I think the bigger concern for Seattle East going into the game tonight is the defensive side and, you know, the injuries that they have over there with Tyle Cotta's out, their starting safety. Eamon Worry, I doubt, is going to play. So you're really down pretty thin in the secondary there. So I think that's the biggest thing that they're really probably concerned about and thinking about going into this game.
It's Ian Furness, 93.3 KJR, Seattle kicking off the season tonight against New England, a Super Bowl rematch. Very interesting. You have mentioned the Rams like three different times already, and I just have to ask, like, isn't this kind of the sweet spot? Isn't this something you would want, is for everybody to hype up a team that collectively, as this group, hasn't done it yet? I know they won the Super Bowl with McVay and Stafford, but it's a similar situation where there's a kind of a new group of guys trying to do this. They look like a super team on paper. The Seahawks aren't getting as much attention. Like, are you guys bothered by the Rams getting the amount of attention, or is this something like you guys all should like, of like, hey, we won the crown and nobody's talking about us the way they're talking about that team down south?
I think it's a good thing in a sense. You know, even when they were the first title team going back, I'll reference them. You know, there was always a lot of talk about the 49ers back then and Harbaugh and you know, and other teams. That was when Brady was still with the Patriots, and obviously the Broncos had Elway. And, you know, there were a lot of things going on in Seattle. And Seattle had a team back then that was very, hey, look at me, right? Like, hey, what about us? Like Sherm and the whole group. It was like, look at us. This team is so different personality-wise. I think they like it. I think they like, you know, having, you know, the Rams be the focal point and everything else. I think Mike McDonald, you know, his whole thing, you know, we did not care, you know, the speech last year at the end of the year. And that's kind of true. They don't care. Every guy we talked to during, you know, we were out of training camp every day and basically had a player. We talked to a guy every day and every one of them said the same thing. Like, yeah, we don't care. We have a ring. You know, like, right, we have this $55,000 ring, and B, I think that they're okay with flying under the radar. I really do. I think the Rams are fun for the league. I think it's fun for the teams in the NFC West. Our old friend John Lund used to work in Portland. I do something with him every week. He's down at KNBR in San Francisco, and we chuckle all the time. It's kind of fun. The Rams are that team that everybody's shooting for, and they're not even the defending Super Bowl champion. So I think I think honestly, for conversation, motivation, everything else, I think it's great. You can mess with them all year. God, if you don't go 17-0, that's a bad season for you guys, right? I mean, yeah. So, you know, the hard thing, here's the reality. The reality is this. You winning the division may be harder to win than winning the damn Super Bowl because, you know, if San Francisco stays healthy, and I know that's a huge if at their age and with substations down there snapping guys' ligaments, but, I mean, if they stay healthy, then, you know, they're arguably the, you know, fourth or fifth best team at worst in the NFC. And the top two teams, I don't think there's any question, are Seattle and L.A. So just winning the division is going to be really hard. I mean, there's going to be one or two really good wild card teams coming from the NFC West.
Yeah, good chance all three of them make it.
By the way, that's opposite of baseball in the American League this year. That's the, that's the, that's Like, that is the complete opposite of what Major League Baseball has in the American League.
I just want to slip this one in for Ness here at the end, because we got, and we're obviously against that. I know you got stuff coming up at 8. What's the reaction to the Apple Cup from Sunday up there, either on either side of it, right? I mean, I see Jed Fish slamming his headset down. I imagine Softy's, you know, not having fun. And the reaction to it, their hostage quarterback didn't play great until late. You guys can't throw a football in Washington State, but you hang tough defensively. And the game is like week one. Like, what are we doing? What's been the reaction to the Apple Cup?
Well, you summed it up well. I think all those things are true. Can I use that term, by the way? What'd you call him, the hostage quarterback?
I mean, you know, they're kind of holding them against his will. You
God,
know?
That is so good. That is so good. They are so – I'm going to just tell you guys this right now. They are so bothered when you bring up the fact that he's playing there against his own will and wanted to leave. Like, I spent an entire week doing that last week, and they just – they lose their mind, because you know how Washington is. Like it's – it's basically the be-all, the end-all. Like, everyone wants to play at the greatest setting. It's the greatest setting because it's on a lake and it has a nice view. So the stadium's a dump, first of all. Like, seriously.
Come on, say who, Ian? Come on.
Yeah. Oh, that worked well, didn't it? Like, that worked well. Yeah, just go back to the wave. That's where the wave started. Take the wave out of it. Ban it everywhere else. Do your damn wave, because it started with you guys. And the Apple Cup, just, it was goofy. It just wasn't. You know, playing it in September, it's like, you know, even tonight a little bit, but it's different because this game matters. The thing with the Apple Cup that was always fun, and I think Beaver fans would, you know, Sprague, you'd agree, it's the thing with the underdog mentality is at the end of the year, you always had a chance for something. And, you know, when we're in the Pac-12, the real Pac-12, it was, there's a chance to go to a big bowl game. There's a chance to, you know, to maybe ruin someone's season. Or in the case for Wazoo, unfortunately, a few times, you know, the last 10, 12 years, they ruined our season, right? Like, you know, Mike Leach had some good teams, some top 10 teams. You know, remember the 18 team that beat Oregon, and then all of a sudden it's like the Apple Cup comes around, and instead of, you know, sharing a title, you're losing, right? It's just, you are playing for something more than just your, quote, state pride and rivalry. You know, back then, you know, it's Colorado, Colorado State. I just remember I used to watch that game at the start of the year when they played Colorado, Colorado State. And I went, there's just no juice for this game. And that's kind of what the Apple Cup's turned into, because it's not a conference game. You know, the fact that it's not a conference game, and, you know, the reality is they've always had more resources, and Washington's always had more resources than Washington State. Same thing with Oregon and Oregon State. That's always been the case. But you were still in the same league, and that changed everything. And, you know, I think with Wazoo, and I think Oregon State probably would say the same thing. The hard part now is that, okay, if you have a good team, and we're getting the same guys at the schools. Like Wazoo and Washington State are getting the same exact guys that Washington State and Oregon State, they always got, the 2 and 3 star guys. The difference is you used to develop those guys, and they would be there, and all of a sudden, holy cow, they pop in the fourth year, right? Now those guys are gone. They get bought out, and that's the hard thing.
Yeah.
Because our defense is, Wazoo's defense is legit. I mean, you guys know the DC. Mm-hmm. He may not be a good head coach. Mm-hmm. He knows defense. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jed's slamming his headset down. I know everyone's like, well, he was frustrated. You know what? The Wazoo front four, man, front seven, they beat Washington down. You know, DeMond made a huge play at the end with his legs. They made a couple throws, and Wazoo lost their best playmaker in Freeman in the first series of the game. I mean, outside of that, it's, they stopped DeMond on that play. You know, it's Wazoo ball down 7 with 3 timeouts left, and who knows? I mean, Pinnock can't throw a lick, it doesn't appear, but you know, it's just different. I mean, I know Oregon and Oregon State not playing this year, right? They're not playing that game.
No, in a couple of years. Yeah.
It's, I mean, that's part of everything you said is exactly why, and we may differ here. I just don't want the game anymore. I don't think it serves a purpose. It doesn't feel the same. There's no juice. And yeah. I think at the end of the year, like Oregon or Washington or whatever the slightly bigger school, like there may be an injury or two that happened along the way. And it's like, oh, my gosh, OK, maybe there's a little bit of upset potential here. And it happens sometimes even when you don't expect it. And now it's played in September. It's 90 degrees. You know, it's not, it doesn't have the same. It's lost all its luster, in my opinion. I don't care if the game goes away, because once they abandon the conference and now they're in different conferences, it doesn't mean anything to me. Fan bases, you know, tend to disagree with that take here, but we'll have to kind of wait and see on that. Final one for you, and I know you need to get going. Very quickly,
yep,
I'm good.
I
watched Hard Knocks, and I'm a Niner fan, and I went in with, like, the idea of, like, I actually like the Seahawks team a lot. The Sherman one, for obvious reasons, would bother me. They're really loud. They tell you how great they are, and they'd win. And, you know, as a rival fan, I tend to not like that. I like this team because they operate in silence. It's got redemption stories all over it. It's got high elite playmakers like JSN all over it. I wanted to see Mike McDonald. And, Ian, I know there's a lot of players we can throw in this conversation. I actually thought he had the best offseason of almost anybody in the league. He came off so incredibly likable, I thought, during Hard Knocks for people that aren't there day to day. And it capped off with him talking about, what was his buddy's name? Brigance, that had just passed away. Like, that was
OJ
Brigance. It was in a very emotional, great Hard Knocks showing, I thought, for Mike McDonald. Hard to root against him after you watch what he kind of was on Hard Knocks.
And I thought, just as someone who's been around it forever, and not as much with this iteration with the Kraken stuff, but for the previous 16 years, like every game home and away, I was with those guys, and everything that you saw was authentic about the organization. I would say that. I mean, I think Schneider's the same way. Schneider likes to have a beer. He likes to hang out. He's about as normal a dude, and he's a Hall of Fame GM. I mean, no one's ever done what he did, building two Super Bowl champions, same city, different quarterbacks, different coaches, different rosters. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. And he came across exactly who he is. He's kind of a goofy, blue-collar, awkward, have-a-beer-with-me guy going to Dino's afterwards. And Mike McDonald is exactly that, too, guys. He's what you saw with him. He said it. He's kind of, you know, a nerd, right? It's an amazing, you know, I didn't take any psychology classes in college, but the psychology of it, I think, is amazing, because this guy that is just kind of goofy in a sense, but just a brilliant, brilliant defensive mind, he relates to all these guys, every one of those players. He relates to them, and they relate to him, and they'll go through a wall for him. And when he got here from Baltimore, we talked to guys in the media back there, and they're like, oh, you guys aren't going to have any fun with this. He doesn't like to talk. He's really a pain in the butt. He's just kind of standoffish. He's all those things. No, man, he was just kind of a recluse, man. He just wants to look at film. He wants to have Cooper Kupp roll into his office and break down a cover two defense. You know, is it a Tampa two? What are we doing here? And I mean, that's what he wants to do, but you can see how the players, you know, and I think the big thing with this team is when the alpha males on the team, especially on defense, when they gravitate to a guy and accept a guy, after Pete Carroll, who was there when a couple of these guys were here, the Jaron Reeds and the Leonard Williams, they're like, this is our dude. Coach Mike is our dude. Everyone else follows. And you saw the relationship he had with Leonard Williams. You saw the relationship he could have with Derek Hall, who's a hothead sometimes, and he could bring him in. You know, hey, I still love you, even though he chewed him out, all those things. It's just he's remarkable. We're lucky to have him. You know, I really lucky to have him here in Seattle. And just – I'll go back. I know you guys aren't fans of Jody down there, and I understand why, but, you know, she made a couple massive decisions that put this franchise in the position it is. And one was when Russell Wilson and his staff walked into her office and said, hey, we want John and Pete out. She said, no, instead we're going to get you out of here, and instructed John to do that. And that was a brilliant move. And then the next one was, they had to make the decision to get rid of Pete Carroll, a Super Bowl winning coach in Seattle. If you would have told me that 6 years ago, hey, they're going to fire Pete Carroll, I was at no chance. But she made that decision and trusted John Schneider to go out, find the next coach, and take over everything himself, and it's worked out fabulously. So, you know, it's been a hell of a story. I'm glad Hard Knocks was good. It was really good. I know it wasn't as spicy as some in the past, but I think what you guys saw was that personality of Mike McDonald, and that's why he's so beloved by his 70-man roster, as they say, too. which I think is honestly, all joking aside, I think that's part of it. Like, everyone feels a part of it, whether you're 53 or 70. They, you know, and all those guys that spent like a day here this year last year got like a ring too. So I mean, that was pretty cool how they handled everything.
No doubt. And you got a different Jody. Jody cares about the Seahawks in football. Did not care about the Blazers. So there's two different, you know, vested interests. It's too bad your new owner likes the Steelers more than your own team. But that's neither here nor there. We are out of time. Ian Furness, 93.3 KJR.
Hey, we're all rooting for the Niners up here tomorrow. By the way, we're all Niners fans tomorrow. So that's the one day we're Niners fans.
Well, it's nice. They're not even a substation, and they're starting defensive tackles tearing his patellar tendon. It's awesome what's going on in San Francisco. Good stuff, Ian. Thanks for hopping on with us, man.
See you, fellas. Bye-bye.
There we go. Ian Furness. We went way over it. Back with a little reaction and one fallout observation from Oregon, Boise State, I want to get to. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. A lot to get to in the third hour of the radio program. College and the NFL kicks off tonight. I have a quick one for you. And it was something I wrote in the notes, didn't get to yesterday.
Okay, a little bit of a leftover.
From Oregon and Boise State.
Yeah, what do you got?
It caught my attention in the moment, so I had to write it down. And I put it on the show notes and just sadly didn't get to it as we talked about Oregon. And are people freaking out? Or how much should they drop? Are we not trusting them because they came in with expectation and all that stuff, right? Did you catch the moment on the broadcast? I know you went and rewatched the game, so maybe you fast-forwarded through this part. It was a bit of a dead point of the game.
Yeah, I usually skip through the huddling portion of it to the next play.
Totally get it. Big 10 and 60 is stellar,
delightful,
by the way.
Yes, it is.
There is a moment during the game where they come back and they show Maddox Mattson's family in the crowd.
Seemed like they showed them a lot.
Yeah.
Was that the sense I got rewatching the game?
He's got five siblings and two parents, right? So there's a theme here. His
name is Maddox. I did see this. The baseball names? Okay. Yes, I did.
So his name is Maddox, after
Greg.
He's got a brother named Mick Madsen.
Who could be Mick? Who could it be?
Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
He's got another brother named Mays Madsen.
That's an awesome name.
Willie Mays. He's got another brother, Murphy Madsen.
Yep.
Dale Murphy. He's got a sister, Macy Jo Madsen. Joe DiMaggio.
The sister name's a little bit harder to pull off, but they found
sure.
a way to do it.
Jolton Joe.
Could have gone Rose, I guess.
And then he's got a brother. And I have felt sorry for this brother for multiple days now.
What was the last name?
McGuire Madsen. So you have Greg Maddux, debatably the greatest pitcher of his era.
What year was he born? What year was that brother born? Is he an older brother? Like he was born in like 1999
I don't
or something?
Know the order of operation yeah. here, but okay. McGuire tells me late 80s, mid 80s. It has to be late 80s.
Yeah, well, that's a big
Bass
gap,
brothers
too.
Brothers in the 80s.
Because Madsen's,
A's.
What, 20? He's a senior, right, I think, in college. So he's 21 or 22, somewhere in that range.
So his dad's probably been holding on to all these phantoms. So maybe it's even like an early 90s.
I guess, yeah, touche. The McGuire, the summer of 98, I mean, you could have been born right after that, and you'd be 27
Dude,
years old.
Nah, Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, Dale Murphy,
Dude,
Greg
you know
Maddox,
Hold on.
Joe DiMaggio.
Time out.
And
time
one out. Of them gets McGuire.
Look. Fair point. It's fair to point out. It's an astute observation on your part, because I do remember seeing that fast-forwarding through, and I think I'd rewind back, like, what is she talking about right now? Oh, that's kind of unique. I love the idea of somebody who's trying to figure out a name for a boy.
It's cool, but I just felt bad for McGuire.
Let's also put some respect on the summer of 1998. That is the best summer of baseball any of us have ever had in our entire lives.
Well,
because of two people.
Maybe.
Mainly.
Yeah. It captivated America more.
It captivated America in a way that no baseball story has captivated America since then. Maybe sans the Yankees post 9/11 playing in the World Series.
Would you rather be Sammy Madsen or McGuire Madsen?
I think I'd probably go Sammy.
But he goes McGuire because he set the record, right?
Yeah, he was the one that
Barry
broke the
Madsen
record.
Madsen would have been way cooler.
Yeah, he was a couple years later, re-breaking the record on his steroids.
Like, I clearly was alive before Barry Bonds broke the record.
Yeah, I saw, there was an interview that I just saw on McGuire, and he was talking about this, and somebody brought it up of like, man, I will never forget that. I think I was in third grade, maybe fourth. I can't remember exactly how old I was. I will never forget that summer.
I was going into sixth grade.
Coming into school, especially at the end of the original school year, and then it followed through to the next September.
First
month of the next school year, like every day, that's all we talked about in school.
Mm-hmm.
And they would cut in on the national news. It'd be like ABC Nightly News talking about real world events. Hold on, time out from our nightly news. Here's a Mark McGuire at bat versus the Pirates. It captivated us in a way that nothing has, you could argue, from a sports standpoint since then.
But his name is kind of stained with the history.
Don't let it be stained.
So of the six, you're... They're
Look,
all
I wouldn't want to be McGuire of those six.
I'm saying
the point, but I also won't pull a respect on his name, all right?
All right.
I don't care how much juice he was on. They were all juicing.
I mean, you're not wrong, except Greg.
except for Greg Maddux.
Greg was just throwing 76-pitch complete games.
You can never accuse of being on steroids. The other ones, you know, probably some greenies back in the day.
We'll have more college football chatter, loaded third hour and fourth hour. NFL kickoff day is here. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.